Harper Audio presents Spy Sinker by Len Dayton. Read by James Lely. Chapter 1. England, September 1977.
Brett Rensselaer, you are a ruthless bastard.
It was his wife's voice. She spoke softly but with considerable force, as if it was a conclusion arrived at after long and difficult reasoning. Brett half opened his eyes. He was in that hedonistic, drowsy half-sleep that makes awakening so irksome. But Brett Rensselaer was not a hedonist. He was a Puritan. He saw himself as a direct descendant of those God-fearing, unyielding nonconformists who had colonized New England. He opened his eyes.
What was that?
He looked at the bedside clock. It was very early still. The room was flooded with sunlight coloured deep yellow by the Holland blinds. He could see his wife sitting up in bed, one hand clutching her knee and the other holding a cigarette. She wasn't looking at him. It was as if she didn't know he was there beside her. Staring into the distance, she puffed at the cigarette, not letting it go far from her mouth, holding it ready even as she exhaled. The curls of drifting smoke were yellow like the ceiling and like his wife's face.
"You're utterly cold-blooded," she said. "You're in the right job."
She hadn't looked down to see whether he was awake. She didn't care. She was saying the things she was determined to say, things she'd thought a lot about but never dared say before. Whether her husband heard her or not seemed unimportant. Without a word of reply, he pushed back the bedclothes and got out of bed. It was not a violent movement. He did it gently so as not to disturb her. She turned her head to watch him go across the carpet. Naked, he looked thin, if not to say skinny. That was why he looked so elegant in his carefully cut suits. She wished she was skinny too. Brett went into the bathroom, drew back the curtains and opened the window. It was a glorious autumnal morning. The sunlit trees made long shadows across the gold-tipped grass. He'd not seen the flowerbed so crowded with blooms. At the end of his garden, where the fidgeting boughs of weeping willows fingered the water, the slow-moving river looked almost blue. Two rowing boats tied up at the pier bobbed gently up and down amid a flotilla of dead leaves. He loved this house. Since the 18th century, many wealthy Londoners have favoured such upstream Thameside houses. With grounds that reach the water's edge, they are hidden behind anonymous brick walls all the way from Chiswick to Reading. They come in all shapes, sizes and styles, from palatial mansions in the Venetian manner to modest three-bedroom residences like this one. Brett Rensselaer breathed deeply 10 times, the way he did before doing his exercises. The view of the garden had reassured him. It always did. He'd not always been an Anglophile, but once he'd arrived in this bewitching land, he knew there was no escape from the obsessive love he had for everything connected with it. The river that ran at the foot of his garden was not an ordinary little stream. It was the Thames. The Thames, with its associations of Old London Bridge, Westminster Palace, the Tower, and, of course, Shakespeare's Globe. Still, after living here for years, he could hardly believe his good fortune. He wished his American wife could share his pleasure, but she said England was backward and could only see the bad side of living here. He stared at himself in the mirror as he combed his hair. He had the same jutting chin and blonde hair that his mother had passed on to him and his brother. The same good health, too, and that was a priceless legacy. He put on his red silk dressing gown. Through the bathroom door he heard a movement and a clink of glass, and knew it was his wife taking a drink of bottled water. She didn't sleep well. He'd grown used to her chronic insomnia. He was no longer surprised to wake in the night and find her drinking water, smoking a cigarette, or reading a chapter of one of her romantic novels. When he returned to the bedroom, she was still there, sitting cross-legged,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?